I tell you, David, they're going to sneak these microchips in our system by probably putting them in some kind of vaccine, and we won't even know it.
Well, there's a whole agenda in the background that has been planned for a very long time. When I started investigating this a long time ago now, it became increasingly clear that this agenda is not projected forward a few weeks, a few months, even a few years. It's projected decades ahead. And when you start to realize that the agenda's focus is not in this dimension, then you can start to understand why, in our relationship to time, which doesn't exist anyway, part of the illusion, they can project so far ahead, because they are coming from a completely different point of observation of this reality than we are. So what we find ridiculous and impossible becomes perfectly understandable. While people have been said to me, and I understand the question, you know, how come that people back in the days of Benjamin Franklin and earlier were giving their lives to this agenda? And the answer is because while in our reality we saw people in, you know, big hats and long coats, or further back in other historical situations, in fact, that was only what we were perceiving in the illusion of what I call the time loop, this five-sense reality. In other dimensions, the focus of the manipulation was not operating in those times at all, or those situations. They were just manipulating this reality from their own reality, and therefore they can project things a long way ahead from our perspective of time, which we would find impossible if we just accepted that this reality is all that exists.
All right, let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a first-time caller, but you can take my call.
Well, all right. Well, you're on the first-time caller line, however that happened, but we'll let you in this time.
Wonderful. My name is Heather. I'm calling from Eureka, California, and I had some questions for your wonderful guest.
All right, go ahead.
I grew up Mormon, and the further away I got, the more objective I look at it, and the creepier things I start to see and understand. And I would like your guest to comment on the connection between the Mormon Church and the reptilian oppressors. I'm also interested, he brought up in Children of the Matrix, satanic ritual abuse, and their possible connection to, you know, the reptilian Illuminati. And I'm also wondering if he's seen a connection between the Mormon Church and satanic ritual abuse, you know, in relation to this whole connection to the Illuminati.
All right, I'll let you touch on that, David. I really don't want to go after different religions right now. That's a whole program all by itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you've got 3 hours, I could answer the question. But it's in my books. I have actually a chapter in the new book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, called The God Program. And in which I show that the different religions actually operate to the same computer program. And it is about putting walls around people's sense of reality, limiting their sense of possibility, so that they operate within a fraction of the illusion. It's an illusion within an illusion. And once you have whatever your belief is, and religious belief is the most profound, your belief will repel all borders that challenge that belief, unless, like Heather, you start to see through it and open your mind to a bigger possibility. So religion is a fundamental controlling mechanism. I thought about having some T-shirts made, God Save Us From Religion, on the front. Because the spirituality and religion is not the same thing. There can be spiritual people who express that through religion. Yes, of course, I'm not knocking that. And if people want to follow a religion, great. But we all have our different view. But religion is a great, great form of control. And it's interesting when you look at the background to religion, how the common sources keep coming up of the so-called different religions. It's very clear, and you're talking to Credo Mutwa 3 weeks ago about the African perspective, it's very clear that if you go back in our version of time far enough, you find a global culture. And that global culture had a global knowledge. And what happened is, for various reasons, the global situation got broken up. And the original knowledge went off in different directions, called different names, and got changed in different ways. But the same basic fundamental thing was there. Just as, for instance, in Africa, they throw carved bones as part of, predicting the future. So we have the tarot cards. It's exactly the same principle. It's just that they do it differently. The rune stones and animal bones. You go around the world and you find these different ways of doing the same thing, because originally they came from a global knowledge. And again, when you look at the Mormon church, and I won't go into that in detail now, it'll take too long, but when you look at the Mormon church and you look at where it came from, it was created by Freemasons. Joseph Smith was a Freemason. Brigham Young was a Freemason. They came, both of them, from the Merovingian bloodline, goes back to the Merovingian kings in France, which is a very, very significant, to say the least, Illuminati bloodline, which I've talked about in the books for years. And they created another version of the God program, because when you break them down, as I do in the book, it's amazing how similar they are. The differences are like window dressing and language. And they created another prison religion, as I call them, to imprison the minds of those that are manipulated to advocate it. And what it's doing is saying, this is the truth, this is what you must believe, and if you don't, these are the consequences for not doing so. That's what the God program does all the time, whether it's the Muslim religion or the Christian religion or whatever. And in terms of satanic ritual, well, it's amazing how that comes up in various aspects of all the religions, not least the Roman Catholic religion. But certainly, I have met people, and I haven't gone looking for them, in many parts of particularly America, for obvious reasons, who have experienced these rituals. And the hierarchy of the Mormon Church, like so many hierarchies, says one thing, but I have no doubt whatsoever from my own research, they do something and believe something very differently. And if you want to hide something, there's nothing better than to hide it behind something that's supposed to stand for the opposite. There's no better way of running drugs than through an anti-drug agency, because no one looks that way. No, they're anti-drugs. They're an anti-drug agency. Why? They wouldn't run drugs. What? They're religious. They wouldn't do satanic rituals. It's the same principle. Well, they do, and it's amazingly more common than people will even begin to think, if they get their information from the mainstream media. Mormon Church is a sick organization, deeply sick, and the people who are manipulated need to know that. And I'll tell you a quick story. I actually went to Salt Lake City, and I went to the Mormon temple. Wouldn't allow me in because I'm not a Mormon, but two lovely, lovely girls came up to me. One was from, I think, Bangkok. The other one was definitely from Hong Kong. And they had saved up for years to get the money to pay their expenses to come over and serve the church. And what they were doing were taking people around and trying to sell the church to them. And when I asked some fundamental questions about how the church was created, who created it, and this, that, and the other, not being aggressive, just out of interest, if they knew, they hadn't got a clue. And this is how religion works. This is how society works through Illuminati control, is it disconnects people from the full range of information available about something, and therefore gives them a false reality of that organization or that situation. Same with 9/11, same with the Mormon Church. And of course, what the religions do is, if you start to question, whether it's the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever, talk to Jehovah's Witnesses who have actually tried to question the system of that organization and what happens to them, you're jumped upon, you're isolated, you have the group turned against you because you're questioning the truth. And this is how these people survive. It's just by vicious dictatorship, and anything that has to survive by that ain't worth surviving.
Wildcard Line, you're up with David Icke on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Daniel in Los Angeles.
Hi.
I wanted to ask David, is your one missing puzzle piece Jesus is love. I agree that there are false religions, even false sects like the Mormons, but Satan is the leader of the reptilians, or Abaddon, the destroyer of Revelation 9:11, who's worshipped by the Freemasons. And at the 33rd degree, they learn out of chaos comes order. So they're going to depopulate the planet with this microchip, but you don't have a choice. You either stay and be a slave on a slave planet, or you go home to be with Jesus. And this Las Vegas UFO landing, does he think it could be a reptilian deception in which the reapers gather the tares, which is found in the Bible in Matthew chapter 13?
Well, first of all, there's so many smoke and mirrors that, you know, it's a constant, you know, challenge to see what is real and what is mask, what is smoke and mirrors, what is diversion. There's so many diversions to take you off the path to understanding what's actually going on. But the other thing is that you mentioned that is my one missing puzzle piece, Jesus. Well, I only wish that I only had one missing puzzle piece, Daniel. I really do, because there are still a heck of a lot of holes in the picture which need to be pursued. So at any point, you've got what you've got at any point. You've not got it all. In terms of Jesus, no, I don't go for that. I respect those that do. Good luck to you. But I don't go for that at all. I don't go for the Jesus story, which is repeated over and over in different cultures around the world with remarkable similarity to the Jesus story. I don't go for this idea that one man is this or one man is that, and we must go and be with this one person, this one entity. We are all infinite consciousness. And once we put someone else or something else on a pedestal, we are looking up and we are disconnecting our reality from the fact that we are all infinite consciousness. We are all infinite love. That's my perspective. And, you know, if others have another perspective, good luck to them. Let's have a beer. But I don't buy the Jesus thing at all.
West of the Rockies, you're on with David Icke. Hi there.
Hey, it's Mike. What a thrill and honor to talk to you both, George. David.
Hello, Mike.
I was really, really concerned about chemtrails and was just wondering how you thought that they were playing into this whole crazy plan that's unfolding. Because I got to tell you, today over Central Washington, they were the heaviest I have ever, ever seen them. And just the whole possibilities, I mean, who knows what they're really all about. And I was just really curious if you could please expand on that just a bit.
Any thoughts on chemtrails, David?
Well, I don't like to speak on things I haven't, you know, researched to any length. I think it's insulting to the listener, and it's also ridiculous. And I've not really gone into the chemtrail thing in any detail, except to clearly acknowledge that something very strange is going on here, because I travel a heck of a lot, and it's not just in America that it's happening. It's happening all over the place, and people talk about this phenomenon and the effects that it has on them physically, you know, anyone that's putting chemicals from the sky, which they very clearly seem to be, is going to have a detrimental effect on a physical body that is very, very prone to being rewired by chemicals. So something's going on that is highly significant, and it fits into the whole picture of this multi-level attack on humans mentally, emotionally, and physically, even down to the vast increase in obesity, thanks to fast food and chemicals in food and all this other stuff. If you struggle to operate physically, then that is fundamental to you fully expressing your multidimensional potential in this reality. And so in every area of our computer, physically, mentally, emotionally, etc., we are being attacked and bombarded by the day. And there's a reason for this. It's because we are infinite genius. We are infinite knowing. And for us to be disconnected from that, we have to be bombarded on every level, because you mentioned earlier, George, I think that we would talk about the fact that why was this happening? Were they afraid of something, these people doing it? Well, what they're afraid of is human consciousness opening up and expressing itself and overriding the control of the biological computer and its program. It's interesting that when you talk to psychologists, they have this term archetypes, and they say that a remarkably few archetypal personalities can be found in almost every human, and combinations of these archetypal personalities. Well, we're talking infinite possibility here. How can you have a small number of archetypal personalities coming up again and again and again in people when we're dealing with infinite possibility? It's ridiculous. But what these people are picking up are the archetypal personalities, mental and emotional, within the biological computer, the program playing out. This is why, you know, they can identify these things. When you go into infinite consciousness, that level of who we are, then the archetypes start to dissolve because the computer's control is being overridden. And it's the same as an analogy I've used many times. If you have a tank of water and you've got a tennis ball or something and you want to hold the tennis ball on the bottom of the water and you want to keep it there, then you have to hold it there all the time. Because the moment you let go, that ball's going to go into its natural state, which is floating on top of the water. And symbolically, that's what's happening to us and why they're having to bombard us on so many levels to keep us from waking up. It's because our natural state is to be awake. It's to be all-knowing. It's to be infinite consciousness. And what is happening, for whatever reason, clearly, and I've almost been a barometer of this from when I started talking about these things back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I have seen, and you must have seen it, as I said earlier on your program, year after year, George, there is a fundamental awakening going on where people are starting to see through the veil or see beyond the veil. And as a result of that, these guys are running around trying to hit us with everything they can, whether it's chemicals and chemtrails we're talking about, whether it's additives in food, chemical additives in food, whether it's mobile phones that are rewiring the function of the brain, the central processing unit, etc., or whether it's false information. They are seeking to hold us in the trap so that we don't wake up, because, like I say, for some reason, there is a change taking place which is triggering a wake-up call and an alarm call for increasingly vast numbers of people, and they're terrified of this. And for me, that is one of the key reasons they're desperate to get us microchipped, to suppress the ability of the computer to manifest consciousness. They want to scramble the computer because, you know, you get someone who's mentally handicapped. It's not that their consciousness is handicapped. It's that their computer doesn't function for whatever reason. And because it doesn't function, they cannot manifest the full potential through it.
And with not a lot of time left, let's go right back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome. Where are you calling from? Yes, sure is.
Hi. Happy pre-birthday, George Gemini. Nancy, I'm in the East Village in New York.
Oh, hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi. David, I...
Hello, Nancy.
Hello. I met you a number of years ago with Andy Lee. We were making a film on consciousness change called Deep in the Deal, and... my question to you is, I haven't been able to finish this film because I've applied for grants from every independent art organization in England and America, and I keep coming up against a blank wall. These are supposed to be independent thinkers and artists, and the film is certainly radical. You are in it. Do you think that something is working against this and against me? I mean, I'm asking for editing money. Everybody I know gets money to finish films on cancer and the more appropriate subjects, and I'm trying not to be paranoid, but I'm kind of wondering if I'm just part of this, you know, I'm on the downside of this movement. it's just cutting me out and my ideas and yours as well.
Well, there's two ways, Nancy, that this works, and one's far more effective and widespread than the other. One is that there are people who are consciously suppressing the information you want to bring forward. Now, that does happen. The one that happens most of the time is that once you set the norms in society, you immediately create the point from which the vast majority of people who buy those norms observe the world. For instance, simple example, a few centuries ago, the media would have dismissed anyone that said the Earth was a sphere because the norm was that it was flat. There eventually came a point where the evidence was overwhelming that the Earth was a sphere, and at that point, everything switched, and now anyone who says the Earth is flat is dismissed as ridiculous and far out and nutter. And in the same way of this information about consciousness we're talking about, although, staggeringly, mainstream science in all its various disciplines has already understood vast amounts of this whole construct of illusion, but it's never put the pieces together. So despite that, the norm still is not what we're talking about. And therefore, people make decisions on funding. This may not be the case in yours. It may be knowingly wishing to suppress. But in the vast majority of cases, these people just come from a certain norm. And they will make their funding and supporting decisions based on the norm. And if something's apparently far out from the norm or very different from the norm, their instinct is not to go with it, not to support it. I mean, you know, I talk to television producers all the time who come on and say, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that, but of course we can't go too far. Well, so there at that point is someone taking the norm as the point of reference and editing what people can hear on the basis of not going too far from the norm from which he is perceiving reality, and also fear of going too far in case these bosses say, what you're doing, that's ridiculous to put that out. It's so crazy. So these things are happening all the time, and whether it's knowingly or whether it's the system of norm support that I'm talking about, I don't know. But your experience is not a rare one, to say the least, in terms of the subjects that we're talking about and the kind of subjects that that George has on his show.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nance. Appreciate your being part of the program. David, where's the book, by the way, available? Infinite Love is the Only Truth.
It's available from davidicke.com. Which is my website, which I have updated news from another perspective of the daily news every day, and it's been very very encouraging. The interest in the book's been very encouraging indeed, and you know, in many ways, it's been the most interesting thing I've done because it's just started to have some fundamental mysteries in my mind anyway start to fall apart. And this thing we started talking about, the DNA, is extremely important. What actually happened that actually triggered me to write this book and all the stuff that followed is a friend of mine, a healer, a very, very advanced healer too, called Mike Lambert, here on the Isle of Wight in England. He came around one day, I hadn't seen him for a while, and we started chatting, and I don't know why it did, but DNA came up. And he said, I wrote a paper years ago about DNA, and he said, I'll bring it around. And he, when I read it, it just hit me like a smack on the head. What hit me was that four DNA codes is all there are, A, C, G, and T. And I came across this quote from the San Francisco Chronicle that really summed it up. It says, DNA is a universal software code from bacteria to humans. The basic instructions for life are written in the same language. Now, what makes the colors, what makes everything on in a computer and on the internet? Computer codes. codes manifest as what we see on the internet. This is exactly what's happening in the holographic internet we call our physical reality. The difference between a house mouse DNA code sequence and a human DNA code sequence is remarkably similar compared with the dramatic difference in physical manifestation. And that what makes things, quote, different is the form, the order in which these codes appear in the DNA. And what also becomes clear is that the DNA is a crystalline antennae. Again, I came across a great quote in an article about this, which said this: from the characteristic form of this giant molecule, a wound double helix, the DNA represents an ideal electromagnetic antenna. On one hand, it is elongated and thus a blade antenna, which can take up very well electrical pulses. On the other hand, seen from above, it has the form of a ring and thus is a very good magnetical antenna. And when I got this smack on the head when I saw these two lines about DNA, I thought, that's the matrix. That's how our collective reality is generated. And what it is, it's simply that the DNA antenna and its central processing unit, the brain, is picking up these waveforms and turning them into a holographic reality that only appears in our head or in our DNA. And when you look at a computer, you switch the computer on, where does the internet exist in the form that we see the internet? It doesn't exist in the phone lines. It doesn't exist in the cables in the form that we see it on the screen. It only exists on the screen in that form. And that's precisely what we're doing with our holographic reality. We are creating a reality that only exists in our heads. And so we're like computers locked into this holographic internet. Now, if we don't bring consciousness in, that silence between the thoughts, then we can be controlled by just following and playing out the program, the computer program. And when we bring consciousness in, that's when we start to express all possibility. That's when we start to see things that we don't when we're following the computer program. And the computer program people then look at you and go, you're mad, you're strange. No, you're different because you are in this world, but you are not of it. You are experiencing this world from the perspective of being infinite consciousness beyond the program and not experiencing this world as the program. And that's why throughout what we call history, people who have said these things have been considered extreme, far out, strange people. And anyone that doesn't follow the norm, the program, is considered strange. But all they are is different because they're coming from a different point of perspective. Now, if we can, and we all can do it, if we can open ourselves so that we view this world, perceive this world from the point of infinite consciousness, then I tell you from experience, and I'm not special in any way. I'm just like everyone else, infinite consciousness. And once you do that, your life starts to change, and you see it's like a veil lifts. And suddenly you can see things you couldn't see before. Why? Because you're seeing them from beyond the matrix and not from within the matrix. And that's the transformation. You know, we don't have to meet this control agenda by stockpiling weapons or hanging Henry Kissinger or any of this stuff I hear. It's about changing our reality by changing our perception of reality. When we do that, our reality must change because we're generating it. And if we come from infinite consciousness in terms of our reality, then our reality in this physical experience is going to change dramatically. And incidentally, we have 120 billion miles of DNA. That was a bit of a shocker when I saw that. And that's antennae, and that's locking us into the matrix all the time. And it's an interesting point, George, about this too, is that because we're dealing with a holographic situation, you can start to project a further understanding, which is this. With a hologram, one of its amazing characteristics is that every part of the hologram contains a smaller version of the whole. you don't get a smaller part or one part of the whole. You get a smaller version of the whole. So if you, you know, cut a holographic picture into four, you wouldn't get four quarters of the whole picture. You'd get four smaller versions of the whole picture. This is why reflexologists and acupuncturists, etc., can find all areas of the body, in the feet, in the ear, in the hand, wherever. That has to happen because the body is a hologram, and therefore every part of the body is a smaller version of the whole. Starts to explain why this alternative stuff happens and why they can find the whole body in different parts of the body. But it explains something else. If we are a hologram, then we are going to be a smaller expression of the whole. And so the whole, what I call the super hologram in the book, which you could also call the matrix, also is basically a version of us. And so there is, like we have a central processing unit, the brain, like we have a DNA computer. So this super hologram must have the same. And that fits absolutely with what I'm talking about, with us picking up this holographic frequency reality and turning it into holograms. And in the article, which I put as an appendix in the book, about the Russian scientists who decided the body is a holographic computer, a biological computer, it makes the point about the queen ant. When you have a queen ant and you have all the worker ants, as the worker ants can go a long, 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 long way from the queen ant, but the colony still works in coordination and structure. When the queen ant dies, that's when chaos ensues and the whole thing falls apart. Why? Because the queen ant is generating the frequency information to the worker ants, which is the program which they are following. Only when the queen ant, and this can obviously travel over distance, because they're picking it up like a radio set. Once the queen ant dies, then the radio switched off and everything goes into chaos because the instructions are not going anymore. And more than symbolically, it seems to me, that is how this whole matrix reality works. There is some point which is broadcasting a reality which we're picking up. Now, we can accept it and follow the program, or we can bring consciousness in and override the program, in which case we'll live a very different life and have a very different perspective of the reality we're experiencing.
Okay, thanks for that, David. Let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, this is Peter from Newbury Park. We saw David in Pasadena last year, and he quoted the Bible. And I think he quoted it out of context. He talked about Genesis 6 with the Nephilim, where they could have possibly been demons that cohabitated with man. That's entirely possible. However, they died in the flood. But my main point was
they died in the flood. If you accept that, well, maybe others won't, you know?
Well, the fact that the Bible is scientifically, archaeologically, grammatically, and historically and prophetically correct in every single without a doubt. But what my main point was, you equated Jesus with Ishtar and Baal. The only problem with that is they can't answer prayer. They can't resurrect you from the dead. They can't restore that baby that might have been aborted or miscarried with his mother, if that woman is in Christ. They can't. They're not God in the flesh. They're not.
Okay, I'm not going to move on with that. That's going to get a little too biblical for me. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Happy birthday, George.
Thank you.
How old
are
you, George,
David?
By the way? It's not a bad question.
Hi, David. Hi, David.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, real good, and I read your latest book, Tales from the Time Loop. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, especially Babylon being the Vatican and the money coming out of London. Yeah, that was
yeah,
really good.
The progression of the Church of Babylon through to the Church of Rome is very, very interesting. And
here's a question, though. You say infinite love is infinite knowing, and for me, the one, you know, the conundrum is one versus the many,
yeah,
or the one in the many, which you so brilliantly expounded on just about a minute ago. And for me, the one is Yahweh. And when I am in Yahweh, then I am in the super hologram. Now, for so my question to you is, who is the knower in your knowing? And I just thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, indeed. I see it differently. I think the super hologram is the world of vibration. Beyond that is the world of silence, all knowing, and the world of no vibration. Because as this voice said to me in Brazil, if it vibrates, it's illusion. Because to vibrate, something needs two points between which to oscillate. And what this voice was saying to me was that when we talk of oneness, unity, we're talking about one oneness. And because it's unity, there is no polarities. There are no polarities between which to oscillate. Therefore, there is no vibration. It's not only silence. It is stillness. And we talk about going into the stillness of the heart, going into the silence. And what we're doing is going, I would suggest, beyond the super hologram, into the realms beyond it, the realms of all-knowingness rather than limitation, rather than thought, rather than emotion, and rather than vibration. And in terms of Yahweh, people have different names. You know, if they want to call oneness Ethel, it really doesn't matter because it just is. We seem desperate as humans to give a name to everything, when everything just is. And for me, if you can give a name to what you believe, you're in a prison, because everything just is. We all just are. It's that what I call in the book the force with no name, because it just is. And once we start putting names to what we believe, names to things, we start to disconnect from the whole and start to create parts rather than the unity of all.
All right, David, the clock has got us. We are wrapping things up right now.
Okay, mate.
Very quickly, where's your next travel plans?
I'm talking in Mount Shasta, which is an amazing place.